This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. When attorneys for the North Carolina Department of Transportation argued to condemn a lot in Concord to make way for a parkway extension, they were actually arguing for something that had already occurred. Their agency condemned the spot and bulldozed over a vacant building there a year before. So now a federal judge says the DOT knew the space should not have been condemned under bankruptcy law. She called their statements to the court misleading, if not outright dishonest, and imposed a fine for their wrongdoing. Bruce Sisloff is transportation reporter for the News and Observer and joins us now. Welcome, Bruce.
Hello, Frank.
Tell us about this space. Where is this lot?
Well, it's on Roberta Road in Concord, which is near Charlotte, and it's at the edge of a property that DOT needed for a three-mile-long highway project. It's called the George Lyles Parkway Extension, and DOT was trying to buy up all the land it needed in 2011 and 2012. It's a little half-acre lot, as I think you said, with an abandoned country store, just at the really at the tail end of this project where DOT began construction last year.
And who originally owned it, or owned it last, I guess?
There was a man in Cabarrus County who owned it and was writing his will before he died a few years ago. And he left the property to two churches and the American Cancer Society and the American Lung Association. And the American Lung Association of North Carolina changed its name shortly before it filed for bankruptcy in 2010. And it's now known as NCVAMD. And it really, it's just this bankrupt entity that's going through that legal process now. And when that happened, when they filed for bankruptcy, they automatically get protection from creditors. You can't collect debts from them while they're in bankruptcy. And they automatically have legal protection from a condemnation by DOT.
That's kind of interesting. I want to stop you there, because when we think of the right to the sort of eminent domain, the right to condemn, you think of that as a kind of an all-encompassing power that the state has to condemn property. But apparently, if you're in bankruptcy, that's one of the things that can stop the state from condemning property. Is that right?
Yes, and what usually happens, it happens a lot with DOT handling hundreds of condemnations a year. They occasionally run into a bankrupt situation, and they just go to court and say, we'd like a relief from this stay that prevents us from condemning the land in this case, and then the court figures it out on the merits, and I guess at least sometimes, and perhaps usually, grants that permission to allow them to go ahead and take the land and do what they're doing, even though the people are in bankruptcy. And that's what they should have done in this case, because they knew it was a bankruptcy case, but they just, for some reason, failed to do so as they acknowledged they should have, and they acknowledged they were wrong not to come to get that permission before they condemned the land.
But they did eventually go get permission. It was just after the fact, right?
Well, they requested permission. They weren't granted it yet, really.
Right.
If they had come to court when they discovered their error and said, we made a big mistake, we're so sorry, let's try to fix things, so whatever we need to do, we'll fix it. But instead, they came and filed a motion a year after they had condemned it and bulldozed it. They filed a motion to ask for relief from this protection in order to commence condemnation. And then they claimed in their motion that they learned about the bankruptcy only after they had started condemning the property, and that was just patently untrue. And the judge reprimanded the lawyer for signing her name to something that wasn't true, and said that this had made it really worse, that already it was a willful violation on DOT's part because they condemned the property even though they knew about the bankruptcy. But she said the lawyer's handling of it in this misleading way really is what made it worse. And you know, that's what made it a bigger deal instead
right.
of just a mistake.
How did the judge know, or how do we know, that in fact DOT knew about this, the condemnation, the fact of this before?
Well, there's plenty of evidence. I mean, when DOT filed the condemnation papers, you know, they sent letters to all the property holders in October 2012, said, we're condemning your land, and here's how it works. One of the property owners was identified as the bankruptcy trustee for NCVAMD, and so even on the document they said, attention, bankrupt landowner, we're condemning your land. And then the bankruptcy trustee, a Raleigh lawyer named Greg Crampton, also gave the court months of email exchanges between himself and the DOT right-of-way agent dating back to several months earlier in which they had been discussing this bankruptcy. So DOT's own paperwork showed that it knew before it filed bankruptcy that they were before they filed condemnation, that they were doing this to a bankrupt landowner.
Right. And so far, what are the penalties?
Well, so far, not much. I mean, they're paying lawyer's fees for Crampton and a $10,000 punitive fine for DOT, which is not a huge amount of money. But there'll be more to pay later. The bankrupt folks are getting ready to file what's called an inverse condemnation lawsuit against DOT, which DOC acknowledged in court that they're expecting to, you know, to be hit with. And that's something that happens if DOT, you know, takes your land illegally, like if they should have condemned it before, or some other government entity, if they should have condemned it before, they did something that damaged your land or something like that. And so in this case, that's what they did. They took the land illegally. And so now they're going to have to pay more than they would have had to pay otherwise. And they'll probably get, I mean, who knows, but they certainly could get some more penalties in this inverse condemnation case,
right,
which their lawyer kind of acknowledged they're going to get hit with.
And when you talk about the condemnation, of course, they did pay for the land, right? I mean, they condemned it, and they paid the owners a certain amount, right?
They did, and it's a small amount because it's a small piece of property. DOT said they thought it was worth $40,000, and that's to be split among several landowners. So it's really small potatoes in that regard. The bankruptcy trustee says, you know, that wasn't enough, that they should have paid more. So he'll argue for more than that, and perhaps he'll get some more than that, but he won't get a huge fortune, but perhaps he'll get more.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, this happens a lot. So this does, at the moment, appear to be just an exception in the way DOT does business. Most often they get the order of operations right and get the condemnation or get the waiver before they send in the bulldozers.
That's right. What I think happens fairly frequently is that they do it the right way. You know, that's what happens a lot. I don't think it happens. Don't know if it happened ever that they did it the wrong way, as in this case, that they need to get permission before they can proceed with condemnation for a bankrupt landowner, and they do so. But this case was, you know, they just did it backwards. They screwed it up on the front end, and then they made it worse by how they presented it legally in court a year after they had done it.
Right. Again, a pretty big email, a paper trail to kind of demonstrate to the judge and anybody who is interested that they in fact knew. So tell us a little bit more about this parkway now. This project has been underway for a while. How far along is the project, and what part of the project is this particular plot of land?
The George Lyles Parkway is a road that exits onto I-85 near Concord now. And it's a four-lane road that goes partly into Concord. This will extend it another 3 miles so that it'll cross U.S. 29, and it'll go all the way to the former site of the Philip Morris cigarette factory that employed like 1,000 people until about 4 years ago. And so this will make that old factory site give it better access to the interstate and make it a better prospect for a new corporate client and a new manufacturing employer. So that's one reason they want the road. And then it'll continue on across 29 eventually to hook up with NC-49. And around Concord, that'll be a good, valuable four-lane road that it'll ease traffic congestion and give people more access to different parts of the county. And it's a better connection among these three parallel roads, 85, 29, and 49. They're at work on a 3 mile part of it now. They started last year and it'll be finished in a couple of years. And then a few years after that, they're hoping to finish the rest of the way to take it all the way to Highway 49.
Clearly, DOT is in a hurry to get this done. Is there anything about the impending legal proceedings that might hold up construction, or are they well underway?
Construction's underway, and there's no reason to think this will hurt the project. You asked me where this property is in relation to the project. It's at the very tail end of it. It's a 3 mile long road they're building, and this old abandoned country store is a few hundred yards away from the end of this 3 mile road. They only actually needed part of this half acre lot for the project, so it's not even in the middle of the highway. It's just on the edge of it.
All right, Bruce. As always, a great pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Frank. I enjoyed it too.
Bruce Hislop is the transportation reporter for the News and Observer. He spoke with us on the state of things just ahead. Native North Carolinian Wiley Cash talks about his second book, This Dark Road to Mercy. We will talk about it on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.